A brilliant light speeds over a red surface, sending rocky shards in all directions. Then a shimmering red square with three gleaming stripes carved in it appears with words beneath it in red font. Saban Films. A lime green cube rests in bright light on a blue surface. It spirals into the air and lands at the top of a logo with the letters PE carved in it. Premier Entertainment. A still image of a galloping horse appears in black on a white background, along with the words Equo Entertainment. Flame-like wisps change colors, from pink to purple to blue, then words appear. Mogul Films. Words appear. Sabanan Films presents. In a large chamber illuminated with torches, a man in a knee-length tunic, cape, and armor, with a patch over one eye and long hair in braids, speaks to a white marble bust of a bearded man.
You're the third emperor of Rome whom I've served. First it was Caligula, then Claudius, and now you, Nero.
A caption appears. Headquarters of the Roman general Corbulo, Syria, 62 AD.
You send General Lucius Cassianus Pateus to defend Armenia against the might of Parthia? I'm the one who invaded Armenia in the first place.
General Corbulo studies the bust of Nero and paces towards it, a feathered helmet under his arm.
I don't goddamn believe it. I don't fucking believe it. What's going on? I should be the one to repel the Pratidians, not that cocksure Pateus. And you order me to safeguard what? Syria? From who? Parthians are besieging our legions in Armenia. And there's a heavy winter coming. You better hope, Emperor, that the power of Rome rests solely not in the hands of your appointed generals, but in the hearts of those anonymous soldiers who make up your legions.
He drops his helmet to the floor, paces to a small cloth stool, and sits heavily, with effort. He loosens his collar and sits with his head bowed. A caption appears. Inspired by true events. The view zooms over a snow-covered mountain range at night, its hillsides dotted with campfires amid evergreen forests. Snow falls lightly as the view descends to a mountain valley and a walled encampment containing hundreds of tents arranged in orderly rows. A caption appears. Camp of the Roman general Paetus, Armenia, 62 AD. Now the view zooms ahead to a large tent illuminated with torches and lined with heavy curtains. Inside, General Paetus sits with several scrolls set out before him as he drinks from a metal goblet. His dark hair and graying beard are cropped short, he wears leather armor over his tunic. A tall gray-haired commander in a fur cape arrives with another scroll.
Proceed, Marcus. What is the latest?
A new message from the Parthians. They demand we surrender. They give us 3 days. They guarantee we will not be killed.
Burn it. Surrender is not an option.
General.
I said no! Damn it!
Marcus puts the scroll on the general's table, then he points to a map.
The Parthians control the pass. The Scythians have cut off our supply route here. If we don't get help, we'll die of starvation.
Do you also think that this is all my fault for making camp
in a place that can easily be besieged. That this is all the result of my incompetence.
This is no time to look back. We're in no position to sustain a prolonged siege. Our own men remain loyal, but the mercenaries are deserted.
Goddamn mercenaries. Any word from Corbulo?
I sent three of my best men as emissaries. They all chose separate routes, but the mountains are thick with enemies familiar with our plans. They all failed. There is one final option. Take the only route the enemy will not expect us to take. A handful of well-prepared men could scale the ravine. Once in the forest, it's a 7-day forced march to Syria and Carbelos. Scouts.
Are you telling me, Marcus, that a few of our men, exhausted and starving to death, will be able to scale a cliff, walk and run through the forest, battle the enemy, and reach Syria in just a few days?
Precisely.
I can see that I'm not the only one who has lost his head.
It's the only route that will not be crawling with the enemy. Meanwhile, we can make them believe we're contemplating the terms of the surrender.
Corbulo, that bastard. I never imagined that my greatest political foe would one day be my only hope for survival. And what if, after all this, he refuses to come to our aid?
It's a risk we have to take.
The route is impossible. Have you already considered whom to entrust with his lunacy?
He's a soldier raised in the mountains of North Hispania. Excellent climber and fighter. Highly revered by the auxiliary cohorts.
Auxiliary cohorts? He might desert.
He's a soldier, loyal to Rome. There are others, younger, stronger, but none with his capacity to endure.
What's his name?
They call him Noreno.
Do you think he will do it?
If it's an order, he'll obey it to the end.
Yes, an order. Duty. Soldier's lot is nothing but to obey orders. To fight and sacrifice one's life without thinking. What is hard is to make decisions.
They must leave tonight.
We are all already dead, Marcus. Your plan is impossible. I can already see Corbulo as he hears the news of my defeat, the outcome of my strategic blunder, his smile. We are going to need great assistance from the gods if we are basing our hopes on a mountain man. But if the gods are willing, so be it.
They clink goblets together. Pytus drinks while Marcus sets his goblet down. He turns to look at the pacing general before heading out. Pytus returns to his chair and stares into space as he drinks. The quiet encampment is dotted with fires and torches that glow in the cold, dark night. Marcus sits pensively in his own heavily curtained tent, fingering a fine dagger. A young soldier enters, wearing a hooded tunic, his fair hair and beard unkempt.
Noreno.
You called for me, sir.
You've been selected to deliver a message to General Corbulo. The others failed because they chose the wrong route. You'll go by one the enemy does not expect.
Through the ravine. Sir, what you ask of me is impossible.
Impossible or not, that's our only chance to survive.
He gives Noreno the dagger.
I am aware of your qualities. I didn't select you for your obvious skills. You were chosen because of your rare capacity to endure. If anyone can succeed, it's you. We have provisions for only 2 more days. If the enemy doesn't kill us, then The lack of food or the cold will. An entire Roman legion. Destroyed, disgraced. You must succeed.
When do I leave?
Now. When you leave the camp, run straight for the ravine. Scale its walls once in the forest, head southwest till you hit Syria and Carbello scouts. Help me return to Rome.
They grip each other's wrists firmly and shake.
Help me see my son.
I will do my best.
When you reach Carbello, give him this. That parchment bears Spatus' seal.
He hands him a paper scroll with a red wax seal. Norino bows and leaves.
Oh, may the gods protect you. Go out from here and run as if Hades himself were pursuing you.
As Norino walks into the night, Latin words appear with English translation below. He who conquers himself in victory, conquers twice. In daytime, Norino runs through a forest with two disheveled comrades, a Spaniard and a Celt, all three clad in heavy furs. A squadron of sword-wielding soldiers in armored uniforms and helmets tails them. Evading the enemy squadron, the comrades run amid thick green forest undergrowth. They scamper over rugged hills, dodge brush and trees, and bound over deep ruts. The three comrades forge ahead at full speed, while the enemy squadron follows with swords raised. The comrades race up a forested hill, while the squadron crosses a grassy knoll. Norino and the Spaniard dash uphill and take cover behind a downed tree. The Celt stops running at the base of the hill, turns to the enemy, and draws a sword. He fights ferociously against multiple attackers. Norino and the Spaniard resume climbing uphill while the Celt engages the enemy.
I'm sorry, my friend!
The squadron leader fights the Celt with a battle axe and sends the soldiers on.
Go!
Norino and the Spaniard now clamber, on hands and knees, up a steep incline. The Spaniard falters. Norino turns, extends his hand, and pulls him up. They resume their climb, while at the base of the hill, the Celt bravely continues battling the Axeman and another young warrior. About to strike a fatal blow, the Axeman stops in mid-swing.
No!
Norino and the Spaniard kneel breathlessly beside a stream, scooping up water with their hands. Sunlight glimmers through the trees as Norino perches on a ridge and looks around. An aerial view shows the thick forest from above. Then, Norino sleeps on the ground while the long-haired Spaniard leans against a tree. As he speaks Spanish, subtitles read, "I should never have left my homeland, Norino, listen to me."
Norino.
Norino props himself up on one elbow. The Spaniard continues, "Promise me that if something happens to me, you will tell my family. Promise me." Norino nods. The Spaniard grips his hands and says, "Thank you, my friend."
Gracias, amigo.
A blonde commander stands over the captive Celt while the Axeman reports.
Another idiotic Roman who believes he can cross these terraces to seek help. What do I do with him, Sarka?
Commander Sarka looks down on the Celt, lying at his feet. Then he locks his eyes on the Axeman, who continues speaking.
Damn proud Romans. When are they ever going to stop?
Their pride is what makes them great.
The Axeman kills the Celt and drops him face down on the ground. Norino and the Spaniard are resting by the stream when they hear noise on the ridge above them. They press back against the stony ridge wall and draw their daggers.
We can't go far. Look over there.
They stay close to the ridge wall and cautiously move along. Later, they approach a jagged gray mountain range with many escarpments and cliffs.
Here is the famous ravine.
They start their ascent, skillfully running and leaping amid craggy rocks at the base of the ravine. Reaching a cliff wall, the Spaniard urges Norino to climb up, while he remains below to engage a pursuing enemy soldier.
Go!
Norino begins climbing upward, while the Spaniard whips rope weapons at his enemy. The soldier evades the weapons and runs forward with his sword raised. He quickly strikes down the Spaniard, whose dagger is useless against him. As the soldier climbs up after Norino, the Axeman comes running to the base of the cliff. The soldier is soon at Norino's heels as they both scale the cliff, finding footholds amid the rocks, their bare hands gripping sharp-edged crevices. Norino kicks toward the soldier's head and misses. He kicks again and makes contact. The soldier loses his grip and falls to his death. The Axeman arrives at the base of the cliff. He makes eye contact with Norino, perched on the rock face above, but does not follow him. Norino turns his attention upward, searching for ridges and cracks where he can place his hands and feet as he continues his climb. A bird's eye view shows him clinging to a sheer rock face, high above the solid ground, his fur cape swaying as he slowly inches upward. His left hand pulls on a loose rock, which goes tumbling down the cliff. He hangs on with his right hand and dangles in mid-air. His right hand slides and he struggles to maintain his grip. He swings his left hand up and grabs hold of a firm rock, then he digs in with his feet and manages to hang onto a ledge. He pulls himself up, clings to the rock wall, and pauses to catch his breath. He looks down as loose rocks fall and hit the distant ground. He clings to the craggy rock face, his head pressed against it as he rests. He looks down and all around as if reluctant to proceed. Then he flexes his hand, finds a handhold above his head, pulls himself upward, and continues the perilous climb. He pulls himself up to a narrow ledge, rolls onto it, and sits there to rest. The wind picks up as he looks over the edge. He surveys the nook he is in and sees the rocks above are pitted with places to grip. He gives a slight nod and moves along the ledge. He leaves the safety of the ledge and proceeds upwards. Then he loses his grip, falters, and slides. He clings precariously to a crevice with both hands, his arms extended fully as he regains his foothold. A panoramic view shows a vast expanse of sheer cliffs, then an aerial view shows Noreno scaling a jagged rock face. He presses his forehead against the rocks and shuts his eyes as glimmering sunlight shines down on him. A wide view shows Noreno as a small figure moving toward the top of a vast cliff. Finally reaching the top, he crawls to safety. Then he sits there, his face clenched and dirty, as he weeps. Lying atop the mountain plateau, his fur cape around his head, he blinks at the sunlight, and then falls asleep. The Axeman returns to the forested foothills, throws down his weapon and his cape, and reports to Commander Sarka.
Two of the Romans are dead. The others scale the cliff face. That route is impossible.
Nothing is impossible if you have the will to survive.
They're just deserters.
They sacrificed themselves so that he could succeed. He's making his way to Corbulo. The Persians pay us to kill Romans, not to let them escape. Medeas, you and Saulia make your way to the river. You'll have to cross it eventually. I'll send word to the Persians.
Axeman Medeas nods reluctantly, collects his belongings and leaves. Meanwhile, on the mountaintop, Noreno dreams of sitting in the forest, chatting with his comrades.
If for now. So Claudius, tell me, how far have you traveled to arrive at the frontier?
Hibernia.
Hibernia? That's the edge of the world. What's a Celt doing at the Roman auxiliary?
I heard the pay was good.
Okay.
Like most children on the coast of Hibernia, I was captured and taken to Britannia as a slave. I was a gamekeeper's ward, but they couldn't hold me.
He says, did you ever want to return home?
I was away from home too long. I wanted to see the world. So I made my way to Gaul and joined the auxiliary. They've been the only family I've ever known. And for that I'm thankful.
Deberías viajar a mi tierra, Hispania. Es un lugar bueno para vivir.
He says you should have gone to Hispania. It's his land. Very beautiful there.
¿Y tú? ¿Qué de tu vida?
I was raised by my grandfather in Hispania, and when he joined the auxiliary, he was stationed in Britannia. So I followed him and fought alongside him. However, when he died, I decided I would return to Hispania. I carried his body to the top of the mountain, and there I laid him down so the vultures could carry his soul to the afterlife. However, when I returned to the auxiliary, I met Marcus. He recognized my ability and, well, he gave me a purpose.
From my win. Win.
Oh, I think he means for Rome, see?
For Rome.
Yeah.
For Rome?
For Rome.
For Rome.
For Rome.
Noreno awakens. He sits up slowly and blinks at his surroundings. He wipes his face with his hand and gets to his feet.
I
he stands on the breezy mountaintop and looks out at the vista. An aerial view shows him as a small figure at the top of an isolated peak. Later, he makes his way amid boulders and trees. He locates a cave, checks over his shoulder, and disappears inside. While a full moon shines in the night sky, Noreno crouches over a tiny fire in the cave, his hands clasped together as he blows on them. He settles back against a rock wall, pulls his furs around him, and shuts his eyes. He dreams in quick flashbacks. The Celt faces the enemy. The Spaniard is struck down. He and the Spaniard watch from cover as the Celt is captured. The Celt battles Axeman Medeus. Noreno wakens with a start, then struggles to catch his breath as he looks around and gets his bearings. He runs a hand through his matted hair, then rakes the last embers of his dying fire with a stick. He pulls his furs tightly around his shoulders, leans back against the wall, and gradually falls asleep. In daytime, he awakens suddenly and looks around skittishly. He covers the remnants of his fire with sand, then takes off, running vigorously through the forest. A topographical map shows the jagged terrain of a mountainous landscape. As a brilliant red sun sets amid crimson clouds, as daylight streams through trees, Noreno runs continuously, bounding through the forest without breaking step. Later, his feet fall heavily upon the thick forest floor. He slows to a walk and trudges on. Rain falls as he maneuvers between trees and boulders on a slippery downhill slope. Reaching the bottom, he checks his surroundings, then he takes shelter in a rocky nook, pulls his furs around him, and curls up to sleep. Nestled amid the rocks, Noreno keeps dry, while rain pours down and soaks the forest foliage. A caption appears over a scenic view of a lush mountain valley on a cloudy day. Day 3. Noreno runs amid green bushes, then he meanders down brushy hillsides and negotiates rugged woodland slopes. He forges ahead, bounding ceaselessly over ruts and hollows and stumps in the hilly forest. Clambering uphill, his hands grasp the leaf-covered forest floor and mossy fallen trees as he pushes himself along. Ambling through a gully, he grasps tree limbs and rocks for support. The terrain is dotted with patches of snow as he strides alongside a still gray lake, blanketed in fog. The sun shines down on jagged snow-covered peaks. Noreno stops on a sunny mountainside to examine a moss-covered boulder. Hearing screams, he looks up warily, then he takes off running in their direction. He locates a little stone house with a thatched roof, nestled in a valley. Peering through a window, he sees a very young woman struggling against two burly men. She kicks furiously as one man holds her, and the other attempts to part her legs.
Let her go!
Get out.
The first man takes a run at Noreno. Noreno quickly overpowers him and slits his throat with the dagger. The young woman cowers as the second man throws her down, then swings a hatchet at Noreno and grabs him by the throat. She suddenly plunges a knife into the attacker's back. Blood seeps from his mouth as he falls, dead. She points the knife at Noreno and shifts defensively as he approaches. He raises his hands and backs away. He looks into a stew pot, then plops down wearily on a bench and gives her a sidelong look. She returns his gaze and wraps a blanket around her shoulders. He reaches for a bowl and holds it out to her. She takes it from him and sets it on a sideboard while she fills it with bread and fruit. He massages his jaw while he waits. He winces with pain as he bites into the food, then he chews hungrily. The young woman arranges wood in a fire pit.
Do you live here alone? Where is your family?
She shrugs and shakes her head. He points to himself.
Noreno.
She points to herself.
Doria.
Next, a brisk wind blows as Noreno stands amid snow-covered peaks, scanning the harsh surroundings. The sun shines down as he starts running across a snow-filled valley, with fur boots protecting his feet. Later, his pace slows as he tromps through deep snow. Snowflakes drift down as he jogs up a snow-covered hill. He plods through deep snow on a mountainside. Later, he bounds uphill, leaving a trail of broad footprints in knee-deep snow. Snow blows around him as he sinks down in deep snow and falters. Then he picks himself up and wades determinedly through a vast expanse of white. Breathing hard, he crumples to his knees and rests. The screen goes black, then a view appears of snow-covered mountain peaks. Noreno lies motionless, asleep on the snow, as a dark-haired man in fur slowly approaches and puts a knife to his throat. Noreno snaps awake, kicks the man down, and draws his dagger. They battle each other hand to hand, then the man overpowers Noreno, throws him on his back, and turns his own dagger against him.
I wouldn't do it!
Noreno drops his dagger. The man keeps him pinned down.
Look, let me go. I don't have anything to give you. I know that you're a deserter, but believe me when I say, I will not tell anyone where you are. I will not betray you.
Do you think I'm actually afraid you'll tell someone where I am? I'm not that important that they'll need to send soldiers after me.
I'm not interested in what made you desert. But let me go. You'll have helped save an isolated legion that has no chance of survival.
I don't care about you or your damn legion. Now let's see what you've got in the bag. A message with a Roman general seal on it. I should be able to get something nice for this.
You take what you like, but you leave me that. Try to remember that you were a legionnaire too.
Rome and all her glory can burn in hell for all I care.
An arrow suddenly strikes him in the back, and he topples onto Noreno. Noreno rolls him onto the snow and stands up quickly to see Duria standing nearby, dressed in warm furs, a bow in her hand. Next, he is by a crackling fire in Duria's little house. He sits by the stewpot, eating from a bowl, while she sits on the bench and draws furs around her. Noreno glances at her. She turns her big brown eyes to him and smiles. Her long dark hair is braided to one side, her grey tunic is offset, revealing her shoulder. They exchange lingering looks, then he puts down his bowl, edges closer to her, and lies down with his head in her lap. She runs her fingers through his hair, and he closes his eyes. She rests her head on his shoulder, and they both fall asleep, in the warm glow of the fire. In daytime, she treads silently amid green trees, in a grassy glen, listening and watching, her bow and arrow at the ready. She crouches amid thick green grass, targets a grazing rabbit, and shoots. The sun shines down on mountainsides covered in green foliage. Noreno awakens in the house. He stands up and looks around searchingly. He locates his bag and slings it over his shoulder, then he turns to see that Duria has returned. She draws near. They stand close and gaze at each other. He clasps his hands over his heart.
Thank you.
He takes her hand and presses it to his heart.
Thank you.
She smiles, and they share a lingering look. He collects his fur cape and ties it in place around his shoulders, while she goes to the sideboard and bundles some food in a cloth. She hands him the bundle and he puts it in his bag. He gazes at her for a long moment, then slowly heads toward the door. She follows him to the door. He turns to her and hovers close to her for a long while. He smiles tenderly, bows his head, turns and leaves. Outside, he stops and looks back at her as she stands in the doorway. He shakes his head and walks away, while she remains in the doorway and stares after him. He takes several steps, then stops again, a view of the mountain range in the background as he looks back at her. A topographical map shows a great stretch of mountains and jagged landscape. Next, Noreno is jogging relentlessly across a vast snowfield amid the mountain range. He comes to a stop, a long trail of deep footprints behind him, then he changes course and treks along a rugged stone crest, the vast mountain range stretching before him. He tumbles down a snowy embankment, rolls a few times, then picks himself up and continues running downward. He forges ahead, without breaking step, even as he runs through deep snow. Later, the sun casts a long shadow of him as he slowly crosses a vast snowfield. Then he drops to his hands and knees, a small figure amid boundless snow-covered mountains. The screen goes black, then glaring sunlight beams down on him as he rests on the snow, breathing hard, his hood over his head. He pushes his hood back and surveys his surroundings. As he trudges wearily across the snow, a caption appears. Day 6. Corbulo talks to Nero's bust.
A soldier's life is lived outdoors in every damn imaginable weather. I'm sure that's something you can't imagine, Nero. But when you're a Roman soldier, you get used to your hardships. What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
Noreno runs with renewed vigor as the snow gives way to green woodland. A waterfall cascades over a cliff, then a meandering stream rushes over rocks in the heart of a forest. Noreno arrives at the stream, kneels at the edge, and scoops water into his mouth. Later, he crouches by a crackling campfire, breathing heavily, his back against a rocky outcrop. The smoke from his fire billows up through the forest canopy. Stationed nearby, Medeus the Axeman looks up at the smoke. Then Norino hears soldiers patrolling along the stream.
Look over there!
Three soldiers follow the stream as it winds through the forest. An aerial view shows the three soldiers fanning out through the forest. Hiding amid the trees, Norino hurls his dagger and takes out one soldier. The other two come running, swords drawn, ready to attack. Norino grabs the dead soldier's sword, battles the other two, and kills them both. Norino retrieves his dagger and runs off through the forest. Later, he climbs a ridge and looks out over the mountainous landscape. Next, he bounds between jagged boulders and leaps to the ground. A caption appears, Day 8. Running at full speed over rocky terrain, Norino barrels into a protruding branch that cuts deep into his arm. He holds the wound tightly with his other hand, locates a cave, and takes shelter there. He looks out and checks his surroundings, then he wraps the wound tightly with a strip of cloth, using his teeth to help tie it off. Later, he limps along beside a stream, makes his way to a large rock, and sits down in the sunshine. He winces with pain as he pulls off one of his leather and fur boots. He examines two large red blisters and peeling skin on the ball of his right foot. He stretches forward, picks some of the vegetation, and uses his knife handle to crush it against the rock. He holds the crushed bits in his hand, spits on them, and rubs them between his palms to create a poultice, which he spreads on the blisters. Next, he makes his way cautiously through the forest, checking over his shoulders as he climbs amid twisted tree limbs and moss-covered boulders. An aerial view shows an expansive green forest stretching through a mountainous valley. Later, as Norino runs amid flowering bushes, a wild man suddenly leaps out, grabs hold of his cape, and throws it down. As Norino reaches out with his dagger, the man snares his arms with ropes and holds them up above his head. He punches Norino in the face, knocks him to the ground, and quickly binds his hands.
Who the hell are you? Let me go.
The man straddles Norino and strangles him until he passes out. The man picks up Noreno's dagger and takes a good look at it, then he hoists Noreno up, shoves him into the bushes, and retrieves his fur cape. Noreno struggles, but the man overpowers him and pushes him through the bushes while Medeas watches from a distance. Birds of prey circle overhead as the man ushers Noreno through a stony gorge with steep rock walls on either side.
Please, I beg of you. I'm a Roman soldier. I'm on a mission of mercy. My men have no food and no water.
Nobody cares. Least of all me.
I just want to sell you.
Skin it.
Medeas tails them and then confronts them.
How the hell did you get all the way out here with just this?
Shit!
That man belongs to me!
Yeah? Well, these bards say otherwise! You're getting old and slow, Medea.
Turn around. Go back to your woman, Solius. Oh, wait. You can't. I killed her. This world is mine. Anyone who comes across this patch belongs to me. She wandered too far, and now she paid the price. This bounty is mine, and I am claiming my reward.
Medeas attacks Skilis with his battle axe. Skilis draws a sword and they combat each other. The dagger falls, and Noreno picks it up while the other two fight viciously, hand to hand. Noreno cuts his binds, collects his belongings, and scampers past the others while they fight. Medeas hurls Skilis against the rock wall, punches him down to the ground, then crushes him with his boot. Medeas races through the bushes in pursuit of Noreno, his axe raised high. Noreno looks over his shoulder as he runs with Medeas at his heels. Noreno comes to a stream. He jumps in and tries to swim away. Medeas throws off his cape, wades through the water, and grabs hold of Noreno. He punches Noreno, throws him into the water and tries to submerge him. Noreno manages to strike Medeas in the face. As they grapple in chest-deep water, Noreno latches onto Medeas and bites into his neck. Blood seeps from Noreno's mouth as he releases Medeas and shoves him away. Medeas's eyes open wide as he presses a hand to his neck and drifts back in the water. His blood-soaked hand releases, his eyes close, and he floats away, face up in the stream. Noreno flails about as he swims desperately toward the shore. Looking up, he sees a vague figure standing there. Then, an old man in a cloak crouches down and extends his hand. Noreno hesitates as the sun in his eyes distorts his vision.
Take my hand. Take it!
Noreno reaches out of the water and grabs a hold of the outstretched hand. The old man pulls him safely to shore. Later, the old man rounds the corner of his stone cottage with an armful of firewood. He pauses to look at Noreno, asleep on the ground, then he sets the wood down beside a fire pit. The old man hovers over Noreno for a moment, then he hangs Noreno's cape from the cottage eaves and brushes it with his hand. Noreno remains asleep as the old man crosses to the fire pit and collects a dish of water and a rag. Noreno's eyes open as the old man kneels beside him and mops his brow with the wet rag.
Steady, soldier. Stay calm. You are safe. Rest.
Oh, no, I cannot rest. Where am I? How long have I been here?
No one is following you. Stay still. You are safe here.
Corbulo talks to Nero's bust.
There was nothing to animate the drooping spirits of the army but the example of their general, who endured even more than the common soldiers did. That was written about me, about my conquests of Armenia, whose future Piteus now holds in the palm of his grubby little hand.
A regal shawl is now wrapped around the bust's shoulders.
When our long, arduous march took us through hot, desolate, and rugged countryside, with food and water scarce, and the Armenians likely to launch an obstinate defense, you know what I did? I executed Vedenis, one of the nobles I'd captured, and I cut off his fucking head. And then I took his head and I put it in the ballista and I sent it catapulting into the enemy's fortifications. And they took it as a portent. They hastened to surrender. That's a true story. But you have had the wiles to act as I have.
The bust's blank eyes stare ahead vacantly.
No. Only a true soldier has such an imagination.
Noreno awakens suddenly and sits up.
Ah. You are awake.
The old man sits at his side.
How long was I out?
Almost a day.
A day? I really must...
go. Yes. I heard a few mumblings. A name. Duria? Tell me, from what do you run? Bandits? Other Romans, perhaps? Did you desert your legion?
I'm no deserter.
I, too, was a soldier of Rome. But that was a long time ago.
I have a mission to complete.
We each have a mission to complete. Where are you headed, soldier?
To the Euphrates frontier. I carry a message for General Corbulo. The lives of an entire legion depend on my success.
I see. I'm in the presence of an uncommon man. Did you come across the mountains from Paetus' encampment?
Yes. Where did you serve, Ron?
In another life. A distant life. I served under General Vespasian in Judea.
Vespasian?
Mm-hmm.
But he was the only leader capable of putting down the Jewish revolt against Nero. And his practice of rewarding and releasing his oldest and most loyal of soldiers... well, it's known by all. It's legendary, sir. I would have very much liked to have served under such a great general.
Now, I serve a great king.
I do not understand.
Come. Drink and eat. You need to regain your strength.
The old man goes to a pot resting in the fire pit and scoops some food onto a plate. Sunlight streams through the tranquil forest as Noreno finishes his meal. The old man tidies his fire pit, then sits down with Noreno.
I know this country well. Your destination is not far. The most direct route is across the span of desert that lies between here and the Euphrates River. I recommend staying out of the sun, if you can, and stick to the dry river gullies. Perhaps not the most direct route across the desert, but they will protect you.
So, without knowing it, you've not only saved my life, but the lives of an entire legion. I am forever in your debt.
Do not thank me. I would do this for any man. Roman, Persian, Scythian.
I'm glad I'm the only one to hear you say this. It could be your death sentence for betrayal against Rome.
In the name of Rome, I killed many men. Now, in my wildest nightmares, I recall how sometimes I even enjoyed it. But I was the one who died. Enemies? No. Men. In truth, all of them equal. All of them children of God.
Equal? And how may I ask, did you return to life after being dead?
By listening to the words of a crucified man.
You should not speak this way to anyone, least of all a Roman soldier. Are you not aware that Nero has sentenced all Christians to death?
I no longer fear anything. Not death, and least of all Nero. Without fear, we are free.
Would you still be free in a prison cell? Condemned to the gallows? Or in the Colosseum facing wild beasts?
More free than ever. And you? Do you not want to be free?
Well, as strange as it may sound, sir, these last few days, I think I felt freedom for the first time. Although I was pursued by my enemies and quickly chased down and they were ready to kill me, I've never felt so alive. I've really reveled in these last few days away from the army.
Then it may be that one day you will know real freedom, like me, without killing.
And perhaps someday, you will explain to me this truth of yours that makes all men equal and free. But for now, I must go. I am very grateful for your help.
Saul. My name is Saul.
I am Noreno.
They clutch each other's wrists and shake. Then Noreno collects his cape and slings it around his shoulders.
I packed some provisions for you.
He hands Noreno a small sack.
You said that in life, we all have a mission to complete. Have you completed yours?
No. Wait. Here, take this.
He takes a pendant from around his neck, tucks it into Noreno's hand, and clasps it earnestly.
God go with you, soldier.
You are a good man, Saul. I will not forget you.
Saul watches Noreno walk away, in his fur boots and cape, the sack in his hand. Noreno turns and raises his fist above his head. Saul waves his hand. Then Noreno starts his run through the forest. The view pans along the topographical map to another section of mountainous landscape. Now, Norena runs along sandy brown mountaintops, covered with tall grass and brush. His pace is unwavering as he crosses ridge after ridge, beneath a gray sky, his cape flapping behind him. A caption appears. Day 10. Clambering up a steep incline, Norena clutches the dusty earth with his hands to pull himself upward. As he crawls to the top, his face grazes the ground, and dust puffs up with his rapid breathing. He rolls onto his back, shuts his eyes, and lies in the dust, gasping for breath. He wipes his mouth with his hand, sits up, and rests there, catching his breath. He looks up at the cloudy sky. He scans the craggy crests and valleys of the arid mountainscape that surrounds him. Then he pushes himself up, struggles to his feet, and forces himself to resume running. The moon lingers in the daytime sky. A long, slender snake weaves its way over the crusty ground. Norena stands atop a mountain ridge, scanning the rugged landscape, his hair and beard thick and matted, his fur cape slung back revealing his leather chestplate. Now he runs at full speed, through a dry ravine, its sloped walls crumbling and dotted with bramble. Later, Norena staggers through the parched ravine, gasping. He falls face down in the dust, then picks himself up and lurches ahead, with the hot sun beating down on him. Wobbling through the ravine, he throws off his fur cape and forges ahead. Commander Sarka is perched on a ridge overlooking the ravine, with two swords at his side. He stands up as he observes Norena ceaselessly plodding along. Then he walks along the ridge and follows Norena. Norena half runs, half staggers, his face clenched with effort as he forges ahead. Rounding a bend, he falls to his hands and knees and crawls forward, while buzzards circle overhead. He manages to get to his feet and lurch ahead, then he falls again and drags himself along on hands and knees. A bird's eye view shows a vast desolate landscape, riddled with jagged ridges and arid valleys. Norena rises once again, takes a few steps forward, then collapses, face down in the dust. He raises his head, attempts to push himself up, and fails. He rests his cheek against the dirt, lies motionless, and shuts his eyes. The screen goes black. Then, General Corbulo appears in his torch-lit chamber, his manicured hands covering his face as he sits wearily on the cloth stool, speaking to Nero's bust.
I dream that your precious fool of a general, Buteus, is close to surrender. His men are starving. His mercenaries are deserting. The enemies of Rome have surrounded him and have cut off his supply of lines. Emperor, had I led the legion to reclaim Armenia for Rome, would have been victorious by now.
He weeps.
Why hasn't he sent for me for help? Too proud? Too vain? Too stupid? Yet I hear nothing. I hear nothing. Do you, Emperor? Nothing. No galloping hooves. No, there's no insistent footsteps. No one has come. No one to help, not a single damn messenger. We weren't here to... not to marshal my forces unless Buteus himself sends word that I must come to his aid. 3 legions are at risk of annihilation because of your poor judgment. And you've condemned your most able general to wait. Well, I'm waiting.
Commander Sarka approaches Noreno while he lays face down and motionless in the dusty ravine.
Not good enough.
He drops a sword in front of Noreno, then steps over him. Noreno lifts his head and blinks heavily at the sword lying in the dirt. He slowly reaches forward and grips the sword handle. Then Sarka takes a run at him.
Get up!
Noreno rolls out of the way and Sarka's sword strikes the ground where he was lying. Noreno grasps his sword with both hands, staggers around erratically with it raised, and blinks at his surroundings. Sarka circles him and jabs at him. Noreno swings wildly and teeters around.
Show me, Roman!
Sarka takes aim with his sword and charges at Noreno. Their swords clash as Noreno defends himself. Sarka backs off and sits on the ground, while Noreno catches his breath.
Done well. Better than anyone could have imagined, but there comes a time between hunter and prey when they both know it must end.
Noreno turns strongly and engages Sarka. Sarka wins the skirmish and kicks Noreno onto his back.
You're better than this. Sand?
I'm not done with you. I had my fun.
Shut up! You're gonna tell me he taught you how to run.
He hauls Noreno to his feet. Noreno grips his sword defensively as Sarka takes jabs at him. Noreno summons his strength and lunges at Sarka.
That's it! That's the fight I'm looking for!
Noreno recalls his conversation with the old man.
We each have a mission to complete.
He recalls shaking hands with Marcus. He recalls Juria's affectionate gaze and warm smile. Then he hears the old man's words.
Do you not want to be free?
Now Sarka engages him in a rigorous volley. Noreno falls against Sarka and grips his shoulders tightly.
Your mission is over. I'll give you the sweet release of death. Now tell me, what is your name? I'd like to know the names of things I'm going to kill.
Noreno takes the dagger from his belt and slashes Sarka's face. As Sarka falters, Noreno slices into him with his sword, knocks him to his knees, grabs him from behind, and presses his sword blade to his throat.
Do it!
No. Your life is meaningless to me. Now you end this macabre chase. Or I swear it'll be your last.
Noreno drops his sword on the ground and releases Sarka. Sarka falls back against a boulder. Noreno grips his dagger, clutches his side, and resumes his course, staggering erratically through the ravine. The screen goes black. Next, moonlight illuminates a grand stairway leading to a palatial fortress. Inside a great hall, a bearded man in white robes approaches Corbulo as he stands over a large desk, writing, with a long-haired Asian woman at his side.
Permission to speak, General.
Well, what do we have today? Is it urgent?
Some of the patrolmen found a legionnaire in the Euphrates. He claims to be one of Paetus' men.
Paetus. Well, he must be a deserter.
It doesn't seem to be the case. He says he's a messenger.
Paetus dares to send me a messenger? Where the fuck is he?
Outside, waiting. He was armed only with this. He insists that he alone will hand you the message.
He presents the dagger. Corbulo examines it carefully, then he sweeps his hand in the air, dismissing the woman.
Make him come in.
Corbulo waits, while a bedraggled and weary Noreno shuffles slowly through the great hall and approaches his desk.
What's your name, soldier?
Legionnaire. Quintus. Labrus Surus. Second cohort. 4th Scythian Legion, sir. I carry a message, sir. From General Paetus to General Corbulo.
So you're bringing me a message from Paetus?
Yes, sir.
He presents the scroll in a protective tube. Corbulo takes it in hand, but does not read it.
I'm sorry, but you've come here for nothing. Valerius, see to it that this man eats well and reward his efforts.
No, please, sir, you must help us.
I'm not allowed to tell him, soldier. That useless fucking Paetus. The situation is all his fault. Settling in such mountainous area, so goddamn easy to attack.
But, sir,
Won't you do it for the soldiers' sake? They have no fault in the poor decisions of their general.
Who do you think you are, talking to me like that? We speak instantly. Yes, you're right. The general's bad decisions are not the men's fault. That's what war is like. I'm not gonna help the task. Valerius. I'm sorry, soldier.
As Valerius ushers Noreno away, Noreno turns to him.
Why won't he help us? Thousands of my men will die.
Later, the woman approaches Corbulo as he sits pensively at his desk.
Oh, what is it, Amariah? What have I done now? I gather you've heard my reply to the messenger, didn't you? I've told you that business of Rome.
It's not my concern. Yes, you have. Especially as I am your mistress, not your wife. Especially as I'm not Roman born.
Amariah.
Although I was not born here, but this is my country.
Your country, which is a client of the state of Rome.
I should unite us, not divide us.
Well, all right, it's true. I've refused General Pataeus' plea for help, and I've sent his messenger back on his way empty-handed. My orders from Emperor Nero are clear. I'm to remain here in the banks of the Euphrates to safe ground the Syria on behalf of Rome.
I do not understand you, Gnaeus. For weeks, you prowled the halls of this palace at night, sleepless, agitated, awaiting General Pataeus to swallow his pride and ask for your help. No. Beg for your help. Then, when he finally does so.
There's no glory in arriving too late, Amariah.
Corbulo paces.
A young soldier of Sway, he should be admired. I mean, look at the distance that he traveled all alone. Through no man's land, wilderness, amok with cutthroats and Brythinian assassins. Poor guy went over mountains, through forests, across the desert land. It's astonishing that he managed to make it at all.
He was desperate.
No, he's a soldier in service to Rome. He fulfilled his duty.
I have been always impressed by the willpower certain men exhibit when faced with an impossible mission.
Well, which is why history will be remembered, such as generals as great men.
Generals? I'm talking about simple soldiers, like that messenger who you dismissed without a second thought.
He did his duty.
You have told me many times of how you, above all the other generals, particularly Pataeus, appreciated the value of good soldiers. And without them and their stalwart strength, even the most best military commanders would have no chance of victory.
Are you saying I risk being forgotten because I didn't come to the aid of a general who's no better than a cur?
No, my darling. Your place in history is more than guaranteed. Then you're celebrating single-handed military victories. General Pataeus cannot fall further in esteem than he already has. He's humiliated himself in front of his men, and most importantly, in the eyes of the Roman Emperor. But if he dies on a lonely mountain in Armenia...
Then good riddance.
If he dies, holed up in a barren cold, under vicious attack, besieged, possibly fighting for his life with his last breath.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
There's always the possibility he'll become a martyr in a posthumous hero.
Patriots? A hero?
Yes, a martyr's hero who gave his life for Rome. Legions, my love, do not necessarily rise from the facts of an event, but from the most romanticized version of a story. The story that people most wanted to hear. The hero they wanted to believe in.
Well, what would you have me do?
They sit together on a lounge bed blanketed with fur.
Deny Peters his immortality. Match to his aid. Do not grant him a martyr's death.
If Mateus returns to Rome, he'll continue his campaign to slander me. And the fucker has the Emperor's ear.
Slander the man who rescued him? His savior? The general who liberated him from jaws of a certain death? No. Not even Peters is that stupid.
And of me? What will be whispered about me behind my back?
They will say there goes great and honorable General Corbulo, who's so moved by the courage of a single soldier, a messenger who weathered an impossible journey to plead for help. My advice to you, Jeff, is to praise this faithful servant of Rome. Say nothing of Peters. Instead, speak in humbling terms of unsung heroes. Do this. The legends will love you. No one will speak a bad word against you. You have condemned your political rival in a life sentence of public gratitude of singing your praises through clenched teeth.
Are you sure you're not secretly Roman-born, Amaya? You speak with the wisdom one with intimate knowledge of this political machinations of the capital.
Politics are the same everywhere, as is the quest for power, internal and universal. The only thing that ever changes is the names of those who wield the specter or the sword.
Go.
Go. She urges him to stand.
Valerius! Summon the tribunes. I want to see them immediately. The troops must be ready to march at dawn.
At dawn, Noreno stands with Valerius on a balcony overlooking a city nestled in a lush valley, while a legion of soldiers marches into the desert beyond.
Congratulations, soldier. Do you know what you're going to do now?
Well, I'm going to return to Armenia.
You're going to go back. But your mission was a success.
Yes, but when I was on my way here, I met a man. And he said to me that in life, we all have a mission that needs to be fulfilled. And I feel like I still haven't fulfilled mine. And I like to think that maybe somewhere out there, there's a woman waiting for me. And I can live a life in peace.
Well, may the gods help you in your new life, soldier.
Valerius pats his shoulder and shakes his hand earnestly. Noreno clasps a wooden crucifix pendant, his expression calm and hopeful as he looks out at the view, a scenic city nestled amid green hills and soldiers streaming into the distant desert. The white marble bust of Nero stares unceasingly, from atop its pedestal in Corbulo's torch-lit chamber. End credits. Director Jose Magan. Amagol Films, Carbera Films, Equo Entertainment Production. Starring Lee Partridge and Mickey Rourke. With Bai Ling, Joaquin de Almeida, and Vladimir Kulik. Title. The Legion. Producer Jose Magan. Story Jose Magan and Pedro Santamaria. Screenplay Pedro Santamaria and Carmen Ballesteros. Associate Producer C.J. Wells. Editor Omar Bermudez. Music by Jordi Longan. Produced in association with Boundit Media Capital. Starring Bosco Hogan, Marta Castelvi, Eric Higgins, Gavan Duffy, Kieran O'Grady, Enrique Inchausti, Mark Aaron, Richard Wilson, Michael Redman, and Ginny Lofthouse. Copyright 2019. Magol Films Incorporated. All rights reserved. Paramount, a Viacom CBS company. Additional credits continue on screen.
I try my best to understand. If I can't love the skin I'm in, then what is the soul of a man? Lost inside the ocean, battled through the lands. If I can't be the color I am, then where is the soul of a man? Where is the soul of a man? Where is the soul of a man?
I've reached the top, but still no soul of a man.
Oh,